When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a transmit. Get on, Mandy. Get on. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, don't we, Matt the Motorator D'Andrea?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Glad you're back from Europe.
I feel like the Porsche beat me back here. I don't know.
That's crazy. Yeah, my car beat you back here.
I saw it over there, and I didn't know it was coming back on a plane. I guess good, and it's here, and it...
Life's...
It's a nice little surprise.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing to me, because... And this is a fair portion of my life runs this way. Hey, we want your car at Goodwood.
Yeah.
Okay. When's Goodwood? That's July 13th. Okay. When was it?
It's, yeah, 15.
July 13th. Okay. Like that. Okay. Well, now the car is committed to go to the Pasadena Car Concourse, which is not in Pasadena, but something else. But
San Marino.
San Marino, right next to Pasadena. I always screw up that. And that's going to be on Sunday, June 14th or something like that. So how long does it take to boat a car over there? 6 weeks. Oh, well, that's not going to work because we've committed. And... then initially they go, and we also want the, we need the car back for Rennsport, blah, blah, blah. So then they go initially before they know all the timelines. All they know is Rennsport. I go, we'll boat the car over there and then we'll fly it back. Oh, I'm sorry. Because they think, let me shake your Etch-A-Sketch, everybody. They think we need it for Monterey Rolex Historics, or I think we need it for that, in the initial discussions. So I'm like, they want to boat it over, and they want to fly it back.
Yeah.
So they can have it for Monterey.
6 weeks, and one is 1 week, basically.
Right.
It comes in travel times.
So then comes with this car show, then comes with Monterey, and now I'm driving a Nissan because of the Nissan mark, and blah, 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 blah. Remind me, by the way, because you know in the program there's going to be a picture of that 935 with Adam Carolla driving it where there should be a Nissan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get
Wes
on that.
Wes talked to Ardell, so that's the chain you need to go down.
Yeah. I'm saying put it on the list, yeah. Matt. Put it on your scroll. So then what happens is I say, new plan. Why don't you fly it over, since we don't have time on the front side with the San Marino car show, and then go ahead and boat it back?
Yeah.
Since the difference is basically, I don't know, $11,000 versus $3,000 or $4,000 or something like that. And they go, done and done. And then, after they fly it over there, I just get the news, it's getting on an airplane and heading back. And I think, okay.
Yeah.
Not what we discussed. Seems like more money. Would have taken it back in 5 weeks, but okay.
Yeah. Good.
So I don't know. The car's covered with dirt and dust. It's very dirty. So we're going to have to clean it off. Max Pata, there's a guy standing there waiting for something. I don't know what he's waiting for. I see, is it the gate guy?
Gate guy.
Can we explain to the gate guy that the guys in out of the booth are probably better?
I just sent a message at simultaneously as you were explaining.
Probably better to hit one of the guys that's not working behind a microphone right now.
literally just sent Adam's kind of weirded out by the gig I hang in engineering to Dylan.
It's not weirded, I'm not weirded out. Weird. I think he wants something because you're facing me.
Yeah, right? I can't.
The gig guy is behind you looking at me, and I think he wants an invoice or something. And I'm like going, hey, you got to talk to that guy. But evidently, he's just chillaxing.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a new listener.
Oh, okay. Well, I got no qualms with him. I'm distracted thinking he wants something from you.
Okay.
So tell him no harm, no foul. I just happened to thought he needed something.
All right.
Okay. So that'll be weirded out.
Tell him the body
weirded out. It's a little, bit of a pejorative.
You're right.
Especially if he's a fan.
I think I was. I put my own inflection in.
Get him some filtered water.
By the way, this is exactly why we have a gate.
The gate guy cracked the gate. All right. Anyway, tell him thank you. No harm, no foul. So the Porsche is back.
How did it get here? Did someone go and get it, or did it show up here in a truck?
It showed up here in a truck after many people, at my great expense, went back and forth with paperwork, which is like the customs guys say they need whatever in triplicate. Yeah. You got to drive it over there. And then you drive it over to the customs guy and they're like, we don't need any of this stuff, but we need some other stuff. Like, go back and go get it. Like, it's so funny.
Yeah.
I got something to say to everybody vis-a-vis my goddamn time. I actually put a little bit of a value on it.
As everybody should.
The reason I drive through red turn arrows all the time is because I have a value on my time. Like, hey, it's Sunday. Hey, I'm sitting on Foothill Boulevard in Gould Street. There's nobody around. And I'm going to the warehouse, meet Matt and have a beer and talk about cars. Why am I sitting in the middle of Foothill Boulevard?
Yeah.
Oh, there's an arrow that's red. It's like, yeah, but the signal's green and there's nobody around. So I just drive through it because I have a thing about my time.
Oh, my God. You would have loved the cab drivers in Italy, which was the second half of that trip. That dude just went through every stop sign.
Oh, yeah.
And when we got into traffic on the freeway, he just went into the shoulder of the freeway and started passing everybody. And what I liked about it was there's the entire – all of Sicily that we went through, there was like two red lights, like traffic lights.
Mm-hmm.
At all. Everybody else there, the way they get through traffic is they communicate with each other by just honking and yelling. and that's how they, that's their rules, their traffic rules. Hey, whoa, hey, there's like a window down and a hand in the air. And I didn't see any accidents. Everybody figured it out.
Those are our people, man.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, that's my dad, man. Paisan. That's how he drives. Oh, no, wait. My dad gets a car, takes him 15 minutes to figure out where the seatbelt is. Like, I'm like, Dad, you're in the passenger seat of an American car. There's a high likelihood it's over your right shoulder.
Chances like, are we haven't changed that technology since we invented the seatbelt.
My dad's looking between his legs for the sub belt harness. Like, where's the six-pointer? Like, your dad, over the shoulder, right side, pull it down. It's been a while.
He's sitting in the passenger seat and he's leaning toward the center console looking.
Literally.
Looking for his shoulder going, I don't understand what's going on here.
It's awesome. If you guys really spent some time with my dad, the next time I saw you, you would break down and cry in front of me and just go, oh my God, you are such. I had no idea about him. And B, you are so magically gifted. I can't believe you fucking tire. I can't believe you pay your taxes and have kids and have a shop. Like when you know the ball of incompetence that is my dad, the insane incompetence that is my dad, you're marginally impressed by me now. You would be blown away if you saw what I come from.
Does it take like
sort of the opposite
lunch?
Of Kalen? You know what I mean? See what I'm saying? The same effect, but just kind of he's the yin to my yang in the accomplishment department, right? You know how you're devastated by Kalen? Exact opposite with me and my dad and Kalen. That's not a put down.
Still got some time.
Yeah, I love Kalen's dad.
Right? See, that's what I'm saying. All right. So we're going to have Tom McDowell, who's the president of the Concorso Italiano. Let me say this. We'll have him on the phone in a few. But yeah.
I'm going to go to that event. I'm going to judge the cannoli.
Oh, you're going to be...
Because now, after...
The Concorso, the Italiano Concorso, for me, was in a way better than Pebble Beach, because whereas Pebble Beach is awesome, the setting and the blah blah and the blah, yeah. Lots of brass era cars, mm-hmm. and you know, Stanley steamers and shit like that. Like, you can kind of keep walking through the wooden spoked wheels and stuff like that. Cool stuff, meticulous. I respect it. But if you go to the Concorso, you know, Pebble Beach, you disagree if you want. I would say half the cars that are there, we just don't really have an interest in, even though they're impressive at Pebble.
Right.
About half are just, oh, it's 1919, you know, by some company you never heard of.
It's just a lot of pre-war stuff that I don't necessarily love.
We kind of walk past it. Then there's about 25% where you're kind of like, oh, that's kind of interesting. I didn't know about that company or whatever. I never had this. I got some cool reminiscent of something. And then there's really about 25% where we're really like, oh, that's cool. Like, or maybe 20%, you know, it's like, I'm really interested in that racing Ferrari from the 60s or whatever it is. Well, the thing about the Italianos, you like all of it because it's all Italian. Now,
it's a sea of red with some yellow.
Yeah.
In.
Now, there are the dickwads out there just brought their bone stock 360 Ferraris out there, and you're like, great.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I could see that. I could go to fucking eBay and see your car all day long. Like, who gives a shit?
Right. But look, if it's emerald green, bring it out there.
Right. This one is beige with red on the exterior. But there's so many things you've never seen, so many things you've never heard of. And it's just a sea of Italian cars. And it's on a rolling golf course, which is awesome, which is in the past. One year they put it in a parking lot. Oh. And they put it in an airport, and it sucked immediately.
Yeah.
Like, it was the weirdest thing in the world. Part of it was just being on asphalt, but the other part of it was not being able to stand at the top of the hill and look down and see, like, oh, there's the Ferrari section, there's the Bizzarrini section, and there's the Lancia section, and there's the Lamborghini section. Well, let's go for the go to the Lamborghinis. You know, like, you couldn't tell. It was just a sea of cars. It's like the Pomona swap meet for super rich people.
Yeah. But also, you're right, though. It also, I think, is the color of it. Like, you have the sea of green on the ground, which makes everything pop. And besides, champagne doesn't taste as well on asphalt as it does on grass.
The flute heats too quickly.
Too much. It starts to boil from down below.
The problem is the way they work it out is I got to go drive after it. Or something.
Yeah, I don't remember which day. What day is it on?
I think it was on Friday.
Is it Friday?
Or maybe it's Saturday. I remember in the past, I think it would be on Friday. We'll try to find out. Anyway.
We'll find out.
Let me tell you about Quip. Most of us brush our teeth wrong. That's because brands focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing. Quip. Quip. It's an electric toothbrush. That's a fraction of the cost of the bulkier brushes. Has a built-in timer with guiding pulses that remind you when to switch sides. I like this. I like the technology.
You know me. I'm a teeth super freak. This is the greatest ad ever.
It is. Oh, yeah. Man, that's right. Nuts. Quip also has subscription plans delivering new brush heads every 3 months for just $5, including free shipping worldwide. So Quip starts at just $25. And if you get Quip, go to getquip.com/carcast right now, and you'll get your first refill pack for free. We love this product, man. That's the first refill pack for free. Take care of it, man. And one more thing not to have to leave the house for. Getquip.com, getquip.com/carcast. All right. So you in Italy, we parted ways at the airport.
Yeah.
Where I had the family try to bring the fucking snow globe on in front of me, which was just the worst thing ever, and then start arguing. Like, I get it. Airports,
because it's liquid.
Yeah, it's whatever ounces of liquid.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could drill a hole in it and drain the snow globe. Like, it's such a sad. It's like two little girls, like, crying.
Somebody in China put it together.
Right. They went to you know, the World Cup. They had their faces painted with, like, a French flag on it or something. And the person's like, oh, no. And then the mom is, like, filming them the whole time. Like, I'm going to film you. Like, busted. Like, busted doing your job, bitch. Like, don't bring a fucking snow globe.
Anyway. Yeah. I don't mind the security at airports because I feel like the one time they dropped their guard, something's going to happen to me. And I got the random check.
Yeah.
Right?
I got the random check. I got the check, too, but I was behind the snow globe family. Right. So she spent an hour like
going. It was
going,
spilling off to you. It was just like everyone in line. I got the random check because they wanted to check somebody else who was not me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not from America.
Right.
And they had to, you know, they had to make it fair.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the random check. I was like, it's fine. Whatever.
All right. So let's talk cars.
Yeah.
We're prepping Newman's Nissan 300ZX single turbo car for Monterey. We're getting close.
Yeah, looks good.
Looks good. We are working on the, Jim Frowell is working on the different drummer.
Yes.
510, which is a cool piece.
By the way, I don't know if I sent this. I just got an email from him. We talked about the brass tag on these cars. The different drummer car has a brass tag, and he sent me a photo of it because he listened last week.
So. I now officially have a boner. And I sort of, now here's what I recall. All right, so for all you people who may not be caught up on this, the deal is this. The older cars, the older Japanese cars are going up in value. There's like a renaissance of 510s and Z cars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The 510s ran in B sedans. There were B sedans. So the 510s, and Jim Frallo's building the car, well, nice guy, will probably correct me on half this shit, but they ran Trans Am. Everyone remembers the Pony Wars.
Yeah.
I'm never sure why it's called the Pony Wars. I get the Mustang part of the Pony War, but I don't get the Camaro part of the Pony War or the Mopar Javelin or the Challenger.
The pony cars.
Why the pony cars?
Somebody needs to wiki that because I don't know the story behind it. But
wiki the pony cars because the pony cars, a Mustang's a pony.
Where did the pony cars term come from? And then I emailed you guys pictures of the brass tag.
All right. Got a boner. So here's why. During the pony car wars, what people think of sort of the height of a vintage 70s racing was like 69, 70, 71, maybe 72, like in there with the Trans Am series. Yep. And Donahue and the Mustangs and the blah, blah, blah. They love all those cars. Well, along with that series, there is that brass tag.
Yeah. So there's the zoom in picture. Right. And then he told me, by the way, that little hole underneath it is so when they inspect the tag, they can see the thickness of the roll cage.
Interesting, because the other car has a little hole underneath it too, and it looks like one of my guys was mounting the brass tag and then realized it got caught on the door, so they had to move it up to the next hole.
Maybe that's what Jim did, but this is what he told me was now he's like, now they can inspect the thickness of the roll cage.
So
there looks great.
There was so here's the deal. There were 2.5 Trans Am cars that ran in the series. So it's sort of, I guess it would have been like Indian Indy Lights or F1 and Formula Atlantic race would take place before the F1 race or something, a junior version. Now, the thing about the 510s is they get around Laguna Seca the same speed, basically same lap times, essentially, as the big horsepower cars just because they're sort of momentum finesse cars and it's kind of a finesse track. You know, it's like big, long straightaways. It's not Road Atlanta or whatever. But they haul ass and get around that track. So they had 2.5 Trans Am cars, and then they would have B sedan cars. Many 510s and Alfa Romeos and stuff ran in B sedan. If you find a car that has Trans Am history, meaning a 510 with Trans Am history, that's pretty rare. There weren't a lot of five tents that have Trans Am history. They have B sedan history, but not Trans Am history. This car has Trans Am history and, of course, B sedan history. But if you find one with a brass tag on it, that's a big deal because they just didn't give away or do too many of those. I don't know how many 510s even had a brass tag. We talked to Pete Brock. He said they brass tagged one of the BRE 510s I have, but not the other because it was going out of out of state. And I guess they just brass tagged them for the 2.5 Trans Am.
Yeah.
Either way, in our world, if you have a 510 with a brass tag on it, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. And you'll see, we'll post those pictures of what we're talking about. It's literally a brass tag, like riveted onto the roll bar.
We'll also send you a couple more pictures that we have of the car just in paint and stuff like that.
We should do that. We'll send it and we'll post those with the show.
The car's
called
the
Different
Drummer 510. It's got a lot of history. I don't know all of the history, but I know it's got a lot of history. And so it'd be the equivalent of if you were a watch collector and there were such and such a Rolex Daytona, but only such and such with the pearl face on it or something, so many made in stainless or whatever your distinction is, that's kind of the brass tag.
Right, right.
All right, do your spot. Let me get, we'll get Tom on the blower.
Castrol Edge. There's tech advances that have made engines smaller, more powerful, and more efficient. You know, the pressure is as much as five cars resting on a high heel.
What?
The only thing stopping metal-to-metal contact is a thin layer of oil that needs to be able to withstand this type of pressure. Castrol Edge has collaborated with Electronic Arts. These guys, big video game makers. Their headquarters is like down the street from me, where I live.
Mm-hmm.
They teamed up with Electronic Arts to present an adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer, inspired by the Need for Speed video games. Find out if real or computer-based driving skills are superior. You saw the movie, right? The Need for Speed.
Oh, yeah.
With Aaron Paul?
Yep.
Yeah.
And
what's the...
Mr. Mom.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Michael Keaton.
Yeah, he took that when he was on his way back. That was a way back role.
And then he got an Academy Award nomination. Yeah. Now he's,
but that was on the way back.
You can see yourself. Castrol Edge can deliver under the most demanding circumstances. Check it out at the Castrol USA YouTube page.
All right. We have Tom McDowell, president of Concorso Italiano, one of our favorite events for Monterey Motorsports Weekend. Tom?
See. Hello, Adam. How are you?
Good to speak to you. Thanks for coming on. Say hi to Matt as well.
Yeah.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Matt.
So we love your event. It seems to grow larger every year. The only bad year was the year it was down on the tarmac at an airport. I don't know. What happened that year, Tom?
Yeah. Somebody was playing golf.
Well, that's a long history. That predates me. I'm not quite sure why they made that decision, but after that one decision, I entered the picture, and we wanted to bring it right back to a golf course, which is where we are now. As you guys know, when these exotic cars, these special cars, when they show, it's best to have them on a lawn. They just stand out much nicer.
And not only that, do they not only stand out much nicer? It's cooler. Obviously, being on the grass versus the blacktop. But one of the greatest moments of the whole car weekend is entering the Italiano Concourse and walking, being at the top of the hill where all the vendors are, and just going, oh, and looking all the way down the hill.
Just the rolling hills of cars, just like a sea of them.
Yes.
It's fantastic. And it's a big event. You got something like 1,000 cars?
Yeah, we're trying to hold that number down, actually, but yeah, we're between 900 and 1,000 cars, and yeah, there's a lot of red out there.
Yeah,
and it's just this sort of wave, and the old joke goes, you know, I'll meet you over by the red Ferrari.
Sure.
And you think, well, which one of the 350 do you want to meet then?
But
there's a lot of Italian cars, and each one of them, there's a story behind these cars, and sometimes the stories are quite long, and sometimes they're quick, fresh, and touch of humor to these cars. But there's always a story, and that's what makes it a lot of fun.
I'll tell you why people need to go. Beside, you may see me there
because
walking
it's
around,
not all Ferrari
with a beer. I went there probably 11 or 12 years ago now. It was probably a couple of years before the tarmac debacle of 2007 that Tom has no part of.
Yeah.
But I showed up there, and I did what I normally do. I was looking over at the Lamborghinis, and I was looking at the Muras, yeah. and I was thinking, oh, this is cool. Look at these Muras. They have a bunch of Muras. And then I walked over, and for the first time in my life, I spotted a Lamborghini 350 GT and a 400 GT.
Mm.
And I went...
Do you remember what color?
I believe it was like they do a silver with a little bit of green in it, like a something Grigio yeah. or something. It's really cool. And I looked at it and I said,
"Was it 350?"
It was a 350, yeah. And I looked at it and I said, "What is this? Like, how did this car get into the Lamborghini section?"
Yeah,
because I'm looking at Muras and Countaches and Diablos.
Sure.
What is this thing? And someone's like, "That's a Lamborghini," and I'm like,
Get out of here.
Where's the wings? Where's the air intakes? Yeah. Where's the poster? Where's everything?
Yeah, right?
There's no chick on the hood.
Yeah.
So I was looking at it, and I really gave it a good look over, and I was like, well, this is very interesting. And then I went home, and I thought, well, that thing's got to have a straight six in it, like a Maserati of its era. And it's like, no, it's got a V12. And I was like, this is a very interesting piece that I didn't even know about, and later on bought one. Or two or three.
Yeah.
So thank you, Tom.
Yeah. You know, Adam, those cars are really nice, and you can sort of see the evolution of design in Lamborghini. From those two earlier models, was the 400 was really just sort of an extension of the 350. I think they added a back seat. I'm not sure if anybody can fit in that back seat.
No.
But those two models are really nice, and there are some other sort of oddities in the early stages of Lamborghini, and one of them is the Espada. It's a true four-seater sports car.
Yeah.
And we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Espada this year. But if you see that thing, it's long. It's a really long
car. It's a big car.
I was just looking at one this weekend and it's one of the first four-seater sports cars. It's really something quite special.
Right.
What else are you going to have out there? We have Alfa Romeo and Maserati and Lamborghini and Ferrari.
Well, Chris, I want you to pull up the 66 Pizzarini P538 because I'm trying to picture the... Oh, that's a beautiful car.
Wow.
Hey, Tom.
That's cool.
We're looking at the we're looking at the Pizzarini P538, which is 1966. It looks like a bit of a Ferrari open cockpit. Beautiful. I remember seeing that car or one of those cars in a car museum in like San Diego. Does that sound about right to you?
It's possible. Yeah, there's a few of them. You know, there's not a lot of them out there, but they're out there. And when people see them, they wonder, what the heck is that? And, you know, there's some who are sort of have been following cars and are tremendous Italian car enthusiasts. They'll recognize it pretty quickly, but there are not many there. So if you saw one in a museum in San Diego, there's a few in California. It's being sort of a big draw for these kinds of cars. It's very likely you did see that car in San Diego.
I did. We're looking at it right now. I remember seeing it there. Don't ask me what my kid's middle name is.
Hopefully it's Pizzarini.
I tell you, 9 years ago when I saw that car in San Diego, I didn't remember the name of it. It's still there. Hey, what day is this? Friday?
No, we're on Saturday. So,
it used to be Friday, right?
August 25th.
Did it used to be on Fridays?
Yeah, we used to be Friday. Yeah, we did. We did.
Right.
And then we thought, well, let's try to make it a little easier for people to come down from the Bay Area.
Right.
And if they want to make a day trip, you guys had to deal with the lodging rates on the Monterey Peninsula. You know how you can get a 5-night minimum at a place that normally sells for about $60 a night, 5-night minimum at $300, $350 a night, and people start to wonder, well, why the heck am I going?
Yeah.
And so the move to Saturday enabled a lot more people to come down from the Bay Area just for the day without having to take a day off of work or commit to multiple nights at a hotel.
It is second to the track. Oh, sorry. third to Quail. Sorry. We got to go to Quail.
We got to go to Quail.
This is, it goes for me on my Monterey Motorsport weekend. It goes track, Quail, Italiano, Concourse.
Now, we made your event last year. We did go to the Concorso. It was on Saturday, and your run groups were split pretty far apart morning and afternoon, and we managed to load up quickly, bail, do a quick lap around there.
Tom, here's what a hero I am. I ran the car Saturday in the morning at the track. Then we jumped in the car and hustled over to your vent.
Yeah.
And then I walked around your vent without drinking an Italian beer, which is tough to do. And then went back to the track and raced the car in the afternoon.
I may have had a beer.
You may have had a beer.
I may have had a beer.
It is a great event. It's the 33rd annual Concorso Italiano. That's the 25th of August. It starts at 9:30 in the morning. It goes till 5. It's the Black Horse Golf Course. And it's in Seaside, California. Website, concorso.com. And you'll see me and Matt wandering around there somewhere in between the morning run group and the afternoon run group.
Possibly, although we have a car cast show in the middle of the day.
Yes. Sorry, Tom.
If you guys are going to be coming out on Saturday, let me know, because I can meet you up at the stage area, and maybe you might have a few words of wisdom to share to people. Maybe invite them out to the track to see a race later that afternoon.
Well, grab the mic and say, does anybody have a helicopter? We have to get back to the track immediately.
I want one year. Now, Tom, I can't remember the gentleman's name who drives the 400 in from San Diego every time. I feel like his name's Tom, too, but he was in the Navy, bought the 400 Lambo.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
He's got a couple hundred thousand miles on the car.
Yep.
He's a terrific guy.
He's a terrific guy, and at some point, some years ago, somebody who worked for the Concorso said to him, hey, we're going to let Adam Carolla drive your car about 40 feet on the grass and then up onto the plywood stage when they show it in front of the throngs of bleachers and crowds. And he looked at me and he went, nobody drives my car. And they said, it's just in a straight line for about 40 feet. And he's like, no.
No.
And then somebody said, it's Adam Carolla. And he said, I don't give a shit. And then he said, he has a 400 too. And he went, oh, okay. You can drive my car.
And
I drove the car up there. And I got out of the car. And I said, hey, everybody, I want you to meet my dad. And I introduced him. And for the whole rest of the day, everyone thought he was my dad. I was kidding.
No.
Absolutely true. Like my dad would have a Lambo.
He's a prince of a man. I'm not surprised that he was reluctant to have you drive it until he learned you already own one and drive one. But that's a special car. He's put so many miles on that thing, and he brings it. He missed a year. He missed 1 year Concorso. I guess he went to a rally up in Montana, and on the way back, the engine exploded. So it just wasn't going to have put it back together by the time Concorso rolled around. But he's back, and he's coming every year since then.
Well, he's rebuilt the engine in his kitchen like 11 times, so he should be fine.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. We'll see you over there.
Okay, gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Tom McDowell, everybody.
Yeah, it's a cool
that
event.
That guy's name is Bill. I'm trying to think. Max Pata.
Now it's
the computer's
Bill.
A weird thing. But
yeah.
If you type in Lamborghini 400 GT with the most miles or with hundreds of thousands of miles or something, I believe this guy's red Lambo will come up. He was a
highest mile Lamborghini
service,
400 GT.
Service guy. In the military at San Diego,
the
Navy.
What do you think he paid for that car?
He got it fresh out of the Navy.
More or less than $13,000.
Oh, less. Because, like any car, you see, when a guy says, I bought the car new, you go, oh, God, now what's it worth? Like, you know, you bought the car for $14,000 in 1967. Now that thing's 600K or whatever the version of it is.
Yeah.
What people don't realize is that car's from 1967, 1968, right? better than I bought it new was I bought it 1973 off a used car lot.
Yeah.
Because then it just does what every Aston Martin and every Bentley does, which is, yeah, it was 100. The Bentley was 180K new. Yeah. And then you saw it go at Barrett Jackson 7 years later for $66,000.
Yeah.
Right? That's literally when you bought it. Now it's worth $1 million.
Yeah.
But it's actually cheaper. These cars, I'm guessing, I know they stickered for like, you know, 14K.
Yeah.
Which is a ton of money in 1968. Could have bought, you know, three Corvettes or whatever, two and a half Corvettes, whatever. But I'll guarantee by 1973, that thing wasn't 20K.
It was Corvette money.
By 1973, that thing was $7,000 or $6,500 or whatever it is. Sorry.
So retired Navy officer Jack Riddell.
Jack.
Bill Jack.
Tom and Bill.
Billy
and
Jack.
Billy Jack, yeah. And it was just a straight up.
Just a good old-fashioned one-syllable name.
I was going one syllable, Bill. And it was just like, dude name, right.
Yeah, Jack. Riddell first purchased his Lamborghini 400 GT in 1972.
Perfect.
For $6,250.
Exactly.
I just know everything. Even when I don't know things. Why do I feel for life? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that this car dropped off. Most supercars drop off 5 years off, and then they start their climb again, right?
This is perfect. Nailed it.
Yeah, nearly 300,000 miles on it.
Yeah, I didn't get his name right, and I said 73. I don't think I said 72.
Yeah.
So I was way off.
I know, way off.
I didn't talk to him about all the stuff. I talked to him about being in the service and being in San Diego, and like I had him in the Navy and stuff because it's a San Diego thing. And I
like
that
this is his identity now. He's the high-mileage Lamborghini guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's his thing. He's committed to it. He's been doing it for decades, and that's it.
Jack's a hero. Billy Jack.
All right.
This is a hero.
I'm going to tell you about Geico. Hopefully he's got some of that with all those miles on it. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off your dry cleaning. You pick up some milk. You can save hundreds of dollars of car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you need some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com.
All right. So, different drummer, brass tag, good. It's good 5'10".
Are you going to test? Are you going to get a little? I mean, Monterey's coming up quick.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to get the GT1 championship car on a track or something before?
Yes. We're going to try.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to really, like, get it on a track.
At the very least, it needs to be on a chassis dyno and run through the gears and stuff.
Yeah,
but I think the suspension needs to be dialed in. Alignment needs to be dialed in.
Right.
Like, we can get some of that close, but it needs a little bit of track time.
Right. What is the don't blame the kid story?
Oh, jeez. The Indian restaurant.
Oh, the Indian restaurant. I love that story.
We were at Goodwood, and we were filming, and there was the big dinner.
I told that on my podcast, but I don't think I don't think I overdid their passive aggressiveness. I couldn't, right?
I don't know. Did you mention the kid? Because the guy was like...
Well, the thing that I found interesting is that we were standing in our little hotel room in Hounslow or whatever.
Yeah.
And
it's like a jail cell.
And Matt found, I said, I want Indian food. I'm tired of medallions of steak pre-cut for me.
You're like elbow to elbow with people.
And when you fly
like,
on the airplane, they give you the medallions. When you get to the castle, they give you the medallions.
It's such a people pleaser go-to.
It's all like pre portioned and they give you the plate and it's like, and that's that part where you want to control your own rice, like you're like, I want a scoop of rice and I'm going to scoop some of this on top of the rice, but I want to proportion it, you know, I want to be in control. So I wanted some Indian food.
Yeah.
So Matt said, I said, Matt, get your phone and find me some Indian food. And we didn't have a car, so found one place that was a mile away. I said, okay, that's walking distance. 3.7 on Yelp or 3.6 or something like that.
Yeah, the review is you know,
not great. And then he said, "Oh, there's another one that's like 4-6, but that's 2 miles away." And I'm like, "We can't walk that far. So let's just go to the closer one." And I said, "So maybe the food's not so great." And then Matt said, like a shaman down from the hill, he said, "You know, a lot of times it's not about the food. A lot of times it's about the attitude.
The Yelp reviews.
The Yelp reviews." And I said, "Oh, good. Like, I don't mind attitude. Like, this isn't my local Indian place where I got to deal with it. You know what I mean? They're just gonna, I don't care if the fucking got some attitude. I just want some good Indian food." Little did I know.
They nailed that. They Yelp review. the food was fine.
We walked in, and I have the same thought, I think, every time I walked in a restaurant. Like, please sit us at that open booth in the corner far away over there. And then you look to your left, and it's a crowded dining room with a four-top and a four-top and a thin two-top right in between the two four-tops, like 4 inches away on each side. And there's like, here you go. And Matt just sat down.
The shape of this place was weird. It was old and was like kind of round up on the top. It was almost like you were sitting in a megaphone, like you were in everybody's conversation. All you heard was the people next to them whispering as if you were talking into this microphone. It was so loud.
So I'm like, I can't sit down. I got to buy time. So I'm like, because once I sit down, we've committed to the space. I'm like, I'm going to use the bathroom. And then I go around the thing and use the thing. So I used the bathroom. And I came back in.
Never came back.
And as I came back, I headed the guy off at the pass. He was like standing by the door, and Matt's like in the dining room that's further down the road. And there was a kid at a table crying behind us. So I just said, I was in my head like, how do we get out of this? Like, I don't like where you put us. I don't want to sit in between these two people. I talk loud. I was like, hey, excuse me, you know, with the baby crying and everything, do you think we could just be sat in this dining room, this big open dining room, like right in front of the bar with nobody in it? I was like, can you sit there? And he's like, the kid's gone. And I said, okay, but do you think we just move over into this dining room anyway? And he went, okay, but don't blame the kid. And I was like, I'm sorry.
It's like, this is the first words they've ever said to each other. The guy didn't even say hello when he sat us down. He's like, don't blame the kid.
Then he walked over to you and said what?
He said...
Now, he sat me then in the other dining room.
Yeah. So he came over with, I think, a glass of water, and he's like, your friend's sitting in the other room. I was like, I don't know what that means. Did we have a fight? Are we not sitting together? Am I supposed to get up? I don't know what to do at this point. He's standing there like this look like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I don't know, like, what's going on? I was like, should I go? He's like, okay. And he like grabbed the menu and the napkin and he showed me where it was, but he just walked over and he's like, your friend's sitting in the other room. I was like, is he sick? I don't understand. Like, is he not feeling well? Like, what happened? And he'd get no information.
Then I tried to order a drink.
But to be fair, it was the very complicated vodka soda.
I said, can I have a vodka soda and lemon? And he's like, soda and lime? I'm like, no, soda and lemon? Soda? Vodka, soda, and lemon?
He kept saying soda and lemon. And Adam goes, and vodka.
Vodka. Like,
so soda.
Vodka, soda, and lemon.
And lemon.
I'm ordering a
and
drink.
Like, and like, vodka. He's like, you're missing the vodka part.
But I couldn't tell, like, you know how everyone, you know, it's everyone's kind of fucking nightmare to, like, correct people, like, shit, like, go, like, so I say, vodka, soda, and lemon. He's like, soda and lime? And I'm like, vodka, soda, and lemon. He's like, soda and lemon. But I don't know if that means he's forgot about the vodka,
yeah, the
or
vodka
he's just trying
already?
To figure out what the rest of the drink is.
Like, you've got to confirm 100% or just walk away. Like, you got to be all in. I've got the vodka part. Now you want it with soda and lemon? Because he's just like, because there was 3 rounds of him going soda and lemon. Adam's like, and vodka. Like, I feel like you're forgetting the vodka part.
But at a certain point, I stopped saying vodka because I'm like, he must have that. He's trying to figure out the back half of the drink.
And what did he bring you?
Soda and lemon.
Soda and lemon.
And then I was like drinking it. I was like, I'm used to heavy hand with the vodka. So I was like, have I burnt out my, like, because maybe this is just a super light.
Some weird
vodka,
immunity
like,
to it.
Pour, like,
airport. Vodka's easy to hide.
Pour. And I'm like, tastes like lemon. And so I slid it to Matt. I'm like, you're not an alcoholic drink. You know, does that have alcohol in it? He's like, no. And I'm like,
no, my Peroni was stronger than that.
Right. So I'm like, Now, what do I do? Get this guy back and, like, tell him to add vodka? I didn't know what to do at this point, so I waited for him to leave. And then I went to the bartender, and I was like, give me a double vodka on the rocks.
Well, we had plenty of soda and lemon at this point.
Like, just give me that. And he gave it to me, and I took it back and, like, made it at the table, which didn't make our waiter happy. But I didn't know what to...
Oh, you got stink-eyed. When he saw you go up there, he was like, this... Nothing but trouble.
And then later on, I was like, I want a vegetable dish, like peas with chickpeas, like with like in tomatoes, tomato sauce. And he's like,
soda and lemon? No, I'm kidding.
He's like, tomato sauce? Yeah, like a veggie dish,
like some kind of red sauce.
Some kind of red sauce. And he's like, we don't have tomato sauce. And I'm like, okay, but. Like a potato, like with a, like a, I don't know, bean, a chick bean or something, and chickpea and a potato. He just stood and watched me the entire time. Like, he didn't lean over and go, well, why don't you try number seven over here? That's got potato and curry in it. Or whatever. Like, he just sat and watched, and I would go, like a vegetable dish, like a tomato vegetable dish. Yeah, we don't have tomato. Oh, yeah, but like a, like a red thing.
He's just staring at me
the whole time.
He was not saying anything. He was not, you're right. He wasn't pointing to a section on the menu. He wasn't like, well, I have this bean or something.
Or here's the popular dish. Yeah. The popular vegetable dish that people really love. He just stood there and he just kept staring at me.
Never have I missed American waitstaff in my life more.
How fucking douchey were these guys? And how passive aggressive was everybody in that place? And how right were you when you were like, a lot of times these Yelp reviews are about attitude, not about curry. Because the food was great.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. They also did a weird passive aggressive thing that I don't know if you got, Matt. But a dude came in solo. And he sat that dude in our section right across from us, and he ate alone. I don't know who goes to eat Indian alone, but he went to eat Indian alone. And he sat him right across, which is kind of like, hey, you want your privacy?
Yeah.
Fuck you. I'll take the fat guy. I'll set him right next to you guys. By the way, I'm in love with this other dining room over here until you guys move. And now, and there's tables open all over the place. They just like sat him across so we could listen to our conversation.
I didn't see that guy sitting there. He was behind you. Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird. Then there was one of that move where he got his food before us, even though we'd been sitting there for 20 minutes. I hate that move, too. Like, he orders 20 minutes after we do, and then I got to watch him eat. We didn't get our food.
They were looking for tomatoes or something. I don't know. But I just love that the first interaction with the guy was like, don't blame it on the kid because you want to move. It's like, God, what a dick.
What a dick.
It's like the kid's gone. Well, don't blame it on the kid.
All right. You can check me out. Thousand Oaks, Borderline Bar and Grill. Is that tonight? Yeah, it's tonight. Live podcast there. Corolla Drinks doing a tasting and live music after the show. We'll do a live podcast at Borderline. So come on out and say hi. We'll hang out, take pictures, and say hi after the show. Pasadena, Seattle, Phoenix, Anaheim, all over the place. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all your stuff. Go to, where should I go for our stuff? CarCast
Show? Yeah, go to CarCastShow.com and all of our social media. Go check that out.
Shift and Steer. Let's not forget about them over at Shift and Steer.
Goldberg and I are doing CarCast Live at the Roadkill Nights event in Michigan, August 11th. So if you guys are coming out there, it's going to be a whole day of drag racing. And then we're drag racing Hellcats down Woodward Avenue in Michigan.
Oh, man.
It's going to be a fun event.
So don't miss that. And you can check out the Podcast One app and the Podcast Masterclass. And go to AdamCarolla.com and figure everything out. And until next time. Oh, and Chassis. Lots of good offerings over there. CHASSY. We got 24-Hour War winning. Racing like Paul Newman. We got Bug. We got the Indian Wrecking Crew, is it? I don't know why that's not. Is that not up there with Jay Leno?
Oh, yeah, it's up there. You know, and all of our videos that we shot at Goodwood, we're going to have those probably toward the end, maybe 3 weeks or so into August.
Mm-hmm.
On Vero and Motor Trend On Demand.
And pre-order Uppities. It's ready. It's magnificent. I've never been prouder. So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla. For Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.